Welcome to our sermon series, Faith Over Fear. Today we dive into the scriptures to see how we can be empowered to live by faith.
So I want to talk about another hero of faith. And if you want to see the heroes of faith, you can go to Hebrews 11 all the way down, and many others give you the heroes of faith. I want to talk about one who spoke with God face to face as another man speaks to another man. A man who did great miracles and perhaps that cannot be repeated in history. A man who everyone held as the greatest prophet until Jesus shows up on the scene. This is a man that everyone esteemed so highly. And in fact, for his own burial, the Lord buried him. I want to talk about this man because sometimes when we think about the great things he did, we don't realize where he came from. He also had a place where he needed to overcome certain fears in his life. I want to talk about a man that you all know called Moses. Hallelujah. I want to talk about Moses. Moses is a very interesting character. If you read scriptures, he wrote the first five books of the Old Testament, and there's all that history around Moses. But yet again, Moses, just a bit of a background for you, is a man who was born in a time of slavery. A time when the Egyptians had the Israelites enslaved, and it was suffering, and there was pain, and there was turmoil in that season of their lives. And when Moses is born, it was about the time when the king or Pharaoh had made a decree that all children under the age of 2 should be killed. But his parents, the Bible tells us, in faith, refused to kill Moses, hid Moses for 3 months. When he was no longer they could no longer hide Moses for 3 months, they put him in a basket, and they put him on the shores of River Nile, and somehow the basket ends up at Pharaoh's daughter's, backyard, I think it was. Pharaoh's daughter draws him out of the water and names him Moses, which really means drawn out of the water. That's what it really means. And then raises up Moses as her own child. Now, Moses grows up in a place of luxury. There's food, there's no slavery, there's no pain, whatever he wants is there. And you would think that for a moment, Moses would forget his own people. And it happens sometimes these days when people, go to the outside country, they tend to forget that Uganda still exists. But that's a story for another day. Now, Moses is in this place. And is in the king's palace, in the presence of the king. But the Bible actually tells me that Moses was not comfortable being in there, but instead he chose to be mistreated with his fellow children. And so the Bible tells me that Moses goes out and tries to bring deliverance to the children of Israel. He's disturbed at their suffering, and he's perplexed at their suffering. And if you would jump with me to Exodus chapter 2, verse 11 down, it reads this way for us. Exodus chapter 2, verse 11 reads, "Now it came to pass in those days, when Moses was grown, that he went out to his brethren and looked at their burdens, and he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his brethren. So he looked this way and that way, and when he saw no one, he killed the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. And when he went out the second day, behold, two Hebrew men were fighting, and he said to the one who did the wrong, 'Why are you striking your companion?' Then he said, 'Who made you a prince and judge over us? Do you intend to kill me as you killed the Egyptian?' So Moses feared and said, 'Surely this thing is known.' When Pharaoh heard of this matter, he sought to kill Moses, but Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian." So Moses goes into the land of Midian, gets married to Zipporah, and for the next 40 years, we don't hear about Moses. Quiet, living a peaceful life on the backside, on the back hills in Midian, in the wilderness, in the desert on the other side. All is going well. But we all know that when God has a purpose for your life, he will find you. So God finds Moses, and in what we call the burning bush experience, begins to have a conversation with Moses. You can read that in Exodus chapter 3 and 4. I'm just going to pull excerpts of that particular conversation. So God calls us to Moses from the burning bush and says this, "Now behold, the cry of the people of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. Come, I will send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people, the children, out of Egypt." I mean, the way God speaks is like, it's okay, it's like a small thing. You just go and bring them out. That's how he speaks. But do you know that God is calling Moses to do something that is outside his natural ability? The first time he tried, he failed. Now God is telling him, go back to the place where you failed and bring deliverance. He found Moses in a place of comfort. He was comfortable, and I can imagine Moses, just play it out with my head. You know, chilling in under the shades of some tree, sipping on some coconut juice. It's a good life, right? Then one day you're strolling around and there's this bush burning, and suddenly a voice shows up, "Moses, Moses." And the guy's saying, "What strange thing is this?" But you see, that is where God is for us. He calls us to do what is the impossible for us, that he might display his glory in you and through you. That is what God does. I mean, if God gave you what you could do, then where is the glory for him? It kind of feels like that's his specialty. Drawing you out from your comfort and giving you the impossible that you might see his greatness. So he calls Moses out of that place, and Moses, in his conversation with God, begins to express his fears and his concerns and his situation, and excuse after excuse. And we sometimes laugh, but it's for real. If you told me right now to go fly an airplane, I would freak out because I have no clue of how to even turn on an airplane. But I want to look at the life of Moses and see what are the fears that you and I can relate to. What you and I can be able to glean from his life so that we can apply that in our lives every single day. So let's kind of like first take a look at the fears of Moses. Because as Moses is talking, there are certain fears underneath there. One of the very first things that just jumps out for me when I read that story, that portion in Exodus chapter 3 and 4, is the fear of inadequacy. Inadequacy being the quality where the state of lacking the qualities or the abilities to perform a task given in a situation. You lack it. You don't have the quality, so you're inadequate. When you read Exodus chapter 3 and verse 10, God is having a conversation. Moses then turns to the Lord and says, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh?" God, I am a nobody. In other words, he's just saying, I am a nobody. First of all, God, I am a shepherd of my father-in-law's sheep. Moses didn't have his own property. Unlike Abraham, when Abraham had his wealth, Moses was the shepherd of his father-in-law. So God, who am I? As in, I am a nobody. There's nothing to attach to my name to make me a somebody. And some of us struggle that way. God is calling, and the first thing you say about God, who am I? I am, first of all, I come from a home which is broken. I come from a place where there's no unknown. There's no significance in that home. And we ask ourselves these questions. Obviously, God replies. But I want to skip to the other thing that we see as a fear of inadequacy. He says this in verse 13. Moses said to God, "Indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they say to me, 'What is his name?' What shall I say to them?" Let me try and do this. Moses is trying to establish, by whose authority am I even going to speak to these people? Now, if you have a name, let me say, okay, Museveni. All right. Okay. And I walk to a certain place and my last name is perhaps Kaguta. People will first and foremost try to figure out, are you Kaguta's son or you're just called Kaguta? Because the name Kaguta, my friend, can move mountains in Uganda. So Moses is asking the question, in whose authority do I go? Obviously, I can't go in the name of Reuel. Reuel was his father-in-law. I can't go in the name of Reuel. I can't go in the name of Moses. So he's struggling with all these inadequacies. He doesn't have the qualities to help him accomplish the task. Your father has never been known. Your mother has never been known. They've never been in any political arena. They've not been any great businessmen in Uganda. Your family doesn't have a name. So God calls you out of your place and you're thinking, God, who am I? What authority do I go? When you carry on to Exodus chapter 4 and verse 10, another way that Moses expresses his inadequacy. It says, the Lord said to Moses, Moses said to the Lord, "Oh my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue." Do you see how the fear of inadequacy now begins to play out in the life of Moses? Now, one of the key things Moses was to do was to speak. Yet, Scripture tells him Moses stammered. He was slow of speech. He stammered. And yet the Lord is saying, go and speak to Pharaoh. God, I don't even have the quality of speech. I don't have the gift of communication. My tongue is heavy. It never has been. And God is calling you to a place where he wants you to do certain things, but you're thinking, but God, I don't even have a diploma in that thing. I don't even have a degree. Maybe it's a master's. There's an opportunity on the board. Now, this is a very interesting one, by the way. On the board, they will tell you the qualifications are you must have at least 5 years or 10 years working experience, or you must have a minimum of 2 masters. And as you're looking at that board, the Lord tells you, James, apply. And under your belt, you have what? 1 degree and 1 year of experience. But the Lord says, apply. And you're saying, but God, really? I am not eloquent. I don't even have the quality. And you see, even as we laugh at this, many of us struggle with this fear of inadequacy. And when you give into the fear of inadequacy, well, when you give into these fears, they will cripple you and you will not achieve or succeed in the ministry or the mission or the task that God has in hand for you. We see that in Moses. Even as I speak right now, some of you already are gauging what personal limitations you have as excuses and as fears in your life. But the other fear that we see in the life of Moses is the fear of his past. Moses was afraid to go back because the Egyptians would kill him. You can go and cross-reference that in Exodus 4 and down verse 19. The Bible tells me this, that the Lord told Moses, the people who wanted to kill you are now dead. So Moses was afraid of going back because they would kill him. And for some of us, our fear is to go back because we left when we had offended people. You don't want to face your father, your mother, because you left with an offense. You can't go back into that job employment because you did something wrong. And even though you have the qualification, you can't go back because of that offense you committed. And so this fear works in us. But the other fear that we see of Moses, okay, that is based on his past, not only is he afraid to be killed, but secondly, we see that Moses is afraid to be rejected again. If you remember in Exodus chapter 2, when I read for you, when he tried to mediate between his two Hebrew brothers, and they told him, "Who are you? Who made you judge over us?" That was a rejection. So when he comes and he's talking to the Lord in Exodus chapter 4 verse 1, he says, but suppose they will not believe me. In other words, what if they don't accept me again? Suppose they don't listen to my voice. Suppose they say the Lord has not appeared to you. Suppose they reject me again. So he's afraid to go back because he sees his past looking at him. And some of us are in that place where we're afraid to go ahead because we know our past is looking at us. And God is calling you out of your place to go somewhere, but you're afraid to go that way because there is something in your past. You're afraid to start a business, and the Lord is telling you to start a certain business, and you're not starting that business because something happened in the past. You failed. Some of you here today, you're even fearing to get married and the Lord has brought the husband your way or the wife your way and you're afraid to get married. Why? Because in your past, you saw your father, your mother having a bad relationship. You see, when you focus your eyes on your personal limitations and on your past experiences, you will not see what God wants to do in your life. What you focus on will be magnified. So we see these fears of Moses. But the good news that I have for you is that when God calls you, he actually already knows those things. And so he comes alongside to help you overcome those fears so that you might accomplish his purpose in your life. That's the beauty of God. And so when I read the story of Moses, there's just two things that I see God doing for Moses. There's a lot more. You know, it's a wide topic, but just go read it for yourself. I just want to bring out two key things for you today. For Moses to overcome his fears, God does two things. One, assures Moses of his presence. Verse 11 of chapter 3, verse 12, pardon me, of chapter 3. So God said, I will certainly be with you. Basically, what God is saying is that I will be the one to empower you to do what you need to do. I will be the one to strengthen you. I will be the one to guide you. Because you see, God's presence is an empowering presence. It is not for, you know, for just bragging and walking, you know, and bragging around. No, it's for you to do something and accomplish a purpose. And you know what Jesus told his disciples in Matthew 28 and 20? He said this, behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. So God told Moses, and Jesus tells us exactly the same thing, that he will be with you when he calls you to fulfill a certain purpose in your life. That's why he told the disciples in Acts, do not leave Jerusalem until the promise of the Father has come upon you. And when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will receive what? Power. What's that power for? To fulfill your purpose of God in your life. So if God calls you to be that cell leader, that section leader, freak out not, because God will be with you. Hallelujah. God will be with you. Think about the stories of the early disciples. I mean, those guys were bold, standing before the Sanhedrin, being able to tell them, you be the judge whether we obey God or obey man. That is your problem. But for we shall obey God. Who does that in their normal mind? Nobody. But unless you have the power of the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, you can't do what God has called you to do. And some of you are here today and you're afraid of the very things that Moses was, or maybe other things. This is what you should hear from me today. God who has called you will empower you. God who has called you says, I will be with you. There's someone here today, even God has told you to be a manager and you're fearing to succeed because you do not want to be promoted because you look down on yourself. The Lord says to you today, I will be with you. The second thing that I see God doing for Moses is that God sends help in the form of his brother Aaron. In Exodus chapter 4, when Moses is telling the Lord, Lord, look, I'm not eloquent, I can speak, you know, I have this issue and trouble. The Lord answers Moses in verse 13, Exodus 4, verse 14. You know, when Moses says to the Lord, Lord, I'm not eloquent. I don't have this ability. Then the Lord says, is there not Aaron, your brother, the Levite? I know that he can speak well. Behold, he is coming out to meet you. When he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. You shall speak to him and put the words in his mouth, and I will be with your mouth and with his mouth, and I will teach you both what to do. You know, when we were preparing this message, I thought about this, and it occurred to me that by the time God comes to call you, he has covered all the back ends. So that when you come and give an excuse, I am not eloquent, he says, it's okay, I have another one who will speak on your behalf. But it is you that I want you to lead. Let me say this. God has people already lined up in your line so that he will help you accomplish the purpose for which he has for you. You have to know this. So if your faith is going to overcome fear, you need to know, one, God is with you, but two, you need to know this. God has already sent help before you. I got thinking about this. And I've had many scenarios, but I want to just share one which forever just stays me. When I just moved over to being a leader, the pastor, not just the leader, but the pastor, but to the church east at the time, I went through a bump in the early stages of my leadership and pastoral ministry there. A couple of people were struggling with me being the pastor and me being the leader, and they were struggling with the adjustment and all these things. Now, while they were struggling, I was also struggling, because before me was Pastor Mark, a great communicator. Then after Pastor Mark came Pastor Julius. Then came LaRobo James. I don't know about you, but when two great men go before you, their shoes are hard to fit in. And I definitely, Julius, I am believing, but I can guarantee you, and I say this from the bottom of my heart, I have not that I have not found, but I want to say this, Julius is an incredible leader. Incredible. So just coming after him, I'm already starting to say, but God, why me? Now, to make even matters interesting, the way I was called, told to be the pastor, the district pastor, we call us, you know, was over breakfast. Kind of like how God came to Moses, right? You go and deliver my children. So you know, it was at the pastor's retreat. I was an associate at the time. And interestingly, that time I was asked to lead the team of pastors and regionals to go and join the rest of the pastors at this retreat. And I get to the retreat and I sit down. And of all tables, there was one seat that was empty and was next to Pastor Gary. That was my burning bush. So we're having breakfast, and Gary is eating away. I don't remember what he was eating, but he was eating away. And in between his eating, he's just like, oh, by the way, James, we're having a conversation, and we believe you're capable of being the next district pastor for East. So enjoy, sink or swim. We'll be there to help you. And the guy continues eating. I don't think I had breakfast that day. It went in, true, but there was no flavor to the breakfast. That was my burning bush. I'm being honest. So I'm wrestling with all these. I'm thinking about, as in, I come from a very humble background. And I'm thinking, okay. So you step into the position, and then there's a couple of people around you who don't feel you. And I'll never forget a group of leaders from one of our sections, you know, they got a bouquet, not a bouquet, what's that thing called? A hamper. a hamper with gifts just to come and say, Pastor, we love you and you're welcome to be our pastor. And they brought that for me. And one of the things in there was a placard that read, God does not call the qualified, he qualifies the called. And I knew instantly that God was with me. I knew. And every time I am in that place, I remember God. I remember those words. He does not call the qualified. He qualifies the called. And that sat in my spirit to this very day. The reason I do what I do today is because I know that God has qualified me to do what I do. And ever since then, whatever fears that I have had have been conquered because of what God said to me. Ever since then. And I want to say the same to you today. For faith to overcome that fear in your life, you need to know that God is with you and that God has already sent help your way. Hallelujah. You need to know that. Faith over fear is incredible. Because after that, we see faith over fear in action. Moses leaves the presence of God, goes to Egypt, speaks to the elders. The elders receive him. They believe in him. He confronts Pharaoh. He does great miracles, signs, and wonders. And ultimately, he delivers the children of Israel. So we see his faith now in God in action. This is a man who felt inadequate. This is a man whose past was in front of him. But now, walking out with the confidence of the presence of God in his life, now walking with the assurance that his own brother was his mouthpiece, walking out and with everything in him, he began to accomplish the purpose of God in his life. And I know, and I've decided to use my own example, my own life. Because I know ever since that day, I never looked back again. I move forward. Because faith is not in the past, faith is in your future. But there's one example, there's just one event in the story of Moses that I want to highlight for you. Just one. There's several, but there's just one. It's in Exodus 14. The children of Israel have left Egypt, rather are leaving Egypt. They have left Geshom and they're going towards the Red Sea to the Promised Land. And when they hit the Promised Land, or not the Promised Land, when they reach the Red Sea, it's a barrier across the Red Sea is the Promised Land. And as they are moving along the way, camped, I forget the name of the place, but camped in a certain place before the Red Sea, when they look back, guess what they see? The Egyptians. And they're coming. How many of you know that sometimes your past tries to chase you? And then listen to what happens. In verse 10 of Exodus 14, when Pharaoh drew near, the people of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them, and they feared greatly. Imagine, they had seen all these miracles God had done. The 10 plagues, the Passover of the spirit of death, and all these things. They had seen all this, but when they saw Pharaoh again, fear gripped their hearts. And occasionally it happens. But I love how Moses responds in verse 13. Fear not, stand firm, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again. The Lord will fight for you, and you have only to be silent. The Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? Tell the people of Israel to go forward. Lift up your staff, stretch out your hand over the sea, and divide it, and the people of Israel may go through the sea on dry ground. This is what I want you to know. The thing that occurred to me in this story, Moses did not declare that statement after he had turned to the Lord. He declared that statement before he turned to the Lord. There's a difference. Moses had already experienced God. When he was faced with his trouble, he didn't have to go back and inquire to the Lord, Will you do it again this time? He had already known what God is doing, and he had the word of God. He had seen the fulfillment of God's word. So when this thing was occurring, he says, guys, be still and know that God will be your salvation. This day you will see no more those Egyptians, because God is with you. And the thing that occurs to me is that faith has an attitude and a language. And the language is simply this, and the attitude is simply this. It's the same attitude that Abraham had. For I am fully persuaded that God has the ability to fulfill his promise for my life. And that is the attitude by which we live. So is God calling you to something? Do you have a dream? Is there a new opportunity before you that lies ahead of you? Is there something that you know God wants you to do and fear has gripped your heart all these days? I want you to know this. For faith to overcome that fear in your life, I need you to remember these things. God will be with you. God already sends help before you. And now you need to learn to develop a language and an attitude of faith. Faith over fear is not some good title. Faith over fear is the reality for those who God has called to live by faith. And I want to end this message this way. You see, when God called Moses to go and deliver the children of Israel, that deliverance wouldn't have happened if the children of Israel had not believed God's word and believed in Moses. And so for us today, God sent his son Jesus to be our deliverer, to be our savior. But it's now up to you to believe in Jesus that you might receive the same salvation and obtain the promise of eternal life. 1 John 5 and 4 to 5 puts it this way. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is?
Thank you for listening. I hope this sets you up to choose well and excel in life. Tune in next time as we continue to explore the scripture and learn how we can overcome fear with our faith. For comments and feedback or counseling, write to connect@ototochurch.com.